Some of you have probably heard of the story of Carla Faye Tucker. Many of you probably have not. She was arrested in 1983 for murder and was executed in 1998 in a Texan prison for those murders. She grew up in a home that was pretty awful. It was characterized by drugs and sexual sin. When she was 7 or 8 years old, was the first time she took drugs, marijuana. Her sisters gave it to her. By the time she reached seventh grade, she quit school, dropped out. When she was 14, she joined her mother in prostitution. And when she was 23 years old, after a weekend-long drug-filled party, her and another man went to an apartment to steal from a man they knew. They went into that apartment. They ended up brutally murdering that man and the woman that was with him. Carla Faye Tucker was a woman who was characterized by evil, and she was despised by the world. If anyone deserved the death penalty, it was her. At least, that's what many people thought, as they looked down upon her and viewed her as someone that needed to be punished and then discarded. But something happened to Carla Faye Tucker. While she was in jail awaiting her trial, somebody gave her a Bible, and she began to read it. And she said, there was a lot I didn't understand, but before I knew it, I was on my knees asking God for forgiveness of my sin and asking him to come into my life. Her life began to change immediately. She began to be faithful. She understood what she did was sinful and wrong, and she deserved whatever consequences came for what she did, even if that meant death. But she also understood she was a child of God and that she had been forgiven by God. As Carla Faye Tucker was found guilty and sent to prison, initially the guards and the fellow prisoners and everyone around her only looked at her at somebody who was a brutal murderer. They looked down upon her and they despised her. And she, in her faithfulness, tried to live the way God wanted her to live. Eventually, fellow prisoners started to recognize her faithfulness and came to her, and some of them came to faith in Jesus Christ. The guards viewed her as a model prisoner and had respect for her. The warden of the prison became a personal friend of hers. And even a brother of one of her victims came to know her, respect her, and fought for her execution not to happen. Carla Faye Tucker was someone who was looked down upon because of her sin, but someone who also was living in such a way that people were forced to look up to her. And this morning, God's message for us is living the high life for God's glory. As we face times in our own lives when people look down upon us, God's word this morning is going to encourage us not to look inwardly at ourselves and respond that way, but continue to look to him and be faithful and to live our lives in such a way that we give people every opportunity to look up. And as they're looking up, hopefully they look past us and they see God and they're glorified. That's the message God has for us this morning. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this gift of salvation that can transform us. But Lord, we're still a work in progress. Lord, we need you. We need your word, your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, to continue to help us grow, that we can live a higher life, a godly life that brings you glory. Lord, as you speak to us this morning, I pray you will just speak to each one of us and show us where we're at and show us where you would have us to go and help us, Lord, to see the steps that need to be taken in order to get there. And we ask this in your name and for your great glory. Amen. As we continue our study of 1 Timothy, last week we were reminded that good servants of Christ Jesus are those who share his word with others, because the word of God has the power to bring new life to those who believe, and it helps us to grow. We were also reminded last week that as faithful servants of Christ who share his word, there's a couple things that we need to do. We need to nourish ourselves on the word of God. We need to take it in. We also were reminded last week that we need to exercise our faith. We need to practice what God is teaching us. And all of that combines to live a life that's going to glorify and honor God. Last week, we were reminded to live godly lives. This week, we're going to be shown what godly lives can look like, what a high life in Jesus Christ can look like, and how it can glorify God. And we begin with these words from 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, let no one, and the no one here is referring to those within the church at Ephesus, let no one despise you, despise, look down upon, think little of, have a very low opinion of anyone. Here we see Timothy is to let no one despise or look down on you for your youth. People in the Ephesians church were looking down upon Timothy because they thought he was too young for the role that he was in. And here he's being encouraged not to let that happen. We see an example of this kind of despising in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 17, a story most of all of you are familiar with, David and Goliath. David was only a boy at this time. Goliath was the champion of the Philistine army. Scripture says he was 9 feet tall. The armor that he wore itself weighed 125 pounds. The point of his spear weighed 15 pounds, according to Scripture. And not only that, he had an armor bearer that went before him, a shield bearer went before him into battle. So he comes out to take on the Israelite representative who's going to do battle with him. And he comes out and he sees David. And it says this, Goliath looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come out with me at me with sticks? What was going through Goliath's mind? He was thinking, this is a joke. This kid is going to come out and take on me. He was thinking, I'm going to crush this guy like a bug. But what he wasn't thinking was how God had worked in David's life and was working in David's life. While the church in Ephesus wasn't looking to kill Timothy, they were looking down upon him because they thought he was too young. Remember his calling here. He's to go to this church in Ephesus, and he's to get rid of the false teachers that were teaching there, and in its place share the word of God. Imagine that. Timothy is likely between 30 and 35 years old at this time. The last time the Ephesian church saw him was 10 years prior of this writing. They would have saw him as a fairly new Christian. And now they're being told he's coming there to basically straighten out the church. You can imagine some hesitation on the part of the church in Ephesus. You can also imagine the hesitation on the part of Timothy to do this work. And what Paul is encouraging Timothy here is he's saying, Timothy, don't hesitate. Be faithful. He's saying, don't let no one despise you or look down upon you. And he understands Timothy can't control anyone else. Timothy can only control himself. So what he is essentially saying here, as much as it is up to you, Timothy, don't let others look down upon you. Be faithful. And I want to just, before we talk more about what that actually means and what that should look like in Timothy's life and our lives, I want to just stop here for a moment and see how this applies for us at this point. So Timothy was being looked down upon because he was too young. What are some other ways people look down on other people? For what other reasons? Start firing away. Why do people look down on others? Okay, not the right education. Didn't go to the right schools. Not the right job. Or maybe you don't have a job. Okay, what else? Not the right clothes. You just aren't dressed in the right way. Okay. The family you came from or the place that you're from. What else? Okay. What side of the tracks are you from? Okay. Keep going. Okay. Mental illness or a physical illness of some kind, people can look down upon you. You're born with maybe some kind of deformity. You can be looked down upon. Your social position, your economic position, your political position, what you're able to do or not able to do. Some people look down on somebody because they can't cook, or they can't change the oil in their car, or they can't dribble a basketball or speak the way they think they should speak. We can look down on each other for all kinds of different reasons. And for everyone in this room today, there are probably people looking down upon you right now, all of us. And God's word of encouragement to us this morning is not to respond to that in a selfish way. Because what can happen when people look down upon us? What can our response be? Can we get frustrated and angry? And maybe bitter, or do we get discouraged and start to buy into them thinking that we don't measure up and begin to doubt ourselves and look at things in a completely different way than God wants us to because we're looking inwardly rather than upwardly. And he's saying here this morning, if people are looking down upon you, look upward and follow me and be faithful so you can give them every reason to stop looking down and start looking up because what I'm doing in your life and through your life. He's given us encouragement today to live our lives in a godly way, in a way that lifts us up so he's glorified. And we're going to have five different things that God's word is going to show us in today's passage as to how we can live a life that others can look up to. And we begin here in this next verse, live a life in a way that others will look up because we live faithful examples to others. We see this in verse 12. But set the believers an example. So one way people are somewhat forced to look up to us is by the example of our lives. Because what are we like before we come to faith in Christ? We're under the control of the world, of man, of Satan, in our own flesh. So we're living completely for ourselves or for somebody else. And then we come to faith in Jesus Christ and we have Jesus in our heart and he begins to work his way out and begins to change things like our speech, where we maybe once were gossips and slanders and or spoke foul language or grumbled and complained. Now we speak truth that helps to build others up. And not just the words that we speak, but also our tone and our body language. As we've been born again and live faithfully, it affects our conduct, doesn't it? We begin to change our way we live, our behavior. And all of this is rooted in love. Before we loved ourselves, now we're growing in love for God and for others. We're to show the example of our faith, our trust in Jesus, and our willingness to follow him. And all of that leads to living a more pure life, a life of holiness. 1 Peter 2:12 says this, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Listen to what this is saying. This is saying people are going to look down at you. They're going to speak even against you. But live your life in such a way as they're doing that, all they can see as they look at you is good. And hopefully that will draw them to the Lord, that on the day of judgment, they glorify God, that they come to know God and they follow him. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." The example of our lives should follow the example of Jesus. And hopefully, as we're living out that example, we can also say, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." First thing we do to live a high life, a godly life, is live our lives faithfully as examples for others to follow. The second thing that we can do to live a high life is to be devoted to sharing the word of God with others. We see this in 4:13. "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." We've been reminded often, we were reminded again last week, of the power and blessing of God's word. We talked last week about how God's word is what can save us. It's the gospel message that we are born again through. It's God's word that helps us to grow in holiness. It's God's word that equips us. It's God's word that guides us and protects us. God's word blesses us abundantly, and we're being encouraged to share God's word with others. Timothy is being encouraged to publicly read Scripture. Things were a little different then. It's not like today where most all of us have multiple Bibles and our homes have multiple Bibles. Back then, that wasn't the case. Very few people had the actual Word of God. So one way they could take it in was when it was read publicly. So Timothy was to do that. He was also to exhort or encourage and teach the Word of God. He was to show people God's will for their life and how they could follow it. And to Timothy, he was to do this as a pastor. And so there's application for us in that, as we talked about last week, it applies to leaders of church. As leaders of this church, we are to be faithful in sharing God's word with all of you. But there's broader application here, just like we talked about last week. For all of us, we're to be faithful in taking God's word in and sharing with others in whatever way he wants us to. That we would be faithful in that. And in doing that, as we are faithful to God in all the ways that he wants us to be faithful, he builds us up. And Jesus said that in Matthew 23:12. "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." As we are faithful to God, he lifts us up. Kind of puts us on a pedestal because he wants others to look at us so they can see him. That's why he's doing it, for his glory. The third thing we can do to live a high life that glorifies God is to not neglect the use of our gifts. And we see this in verse 14. "Do not neglect the gift you were given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." So Paul is just encouraging Timothy to remember back to this thing that happened in his life. And we aren't sure what this thing is. It could have been Timothy's commissioning before he went with Paul on his second missionary journey. But during that time, there was some prophecy that spoke of Timothy's gift. We weren't even told what that gift is, but the context here seems to indicate that the gift was teaching and preaching. And so Timothy is being encouraged by Paul to be faithful in sharing the gifts that he has been given. Imagine if you had a family member who had cancer and they needed a bone marrow transplant and you were a match. Would you donate your bone marrow? Of course you would. Why? Because they need it, and you have it, and you love them, and you want the best for them. And the same attitude is to be with us in the church. Every one of us have gifts and talents, and we are to be utilizing them to build each other up. We're like a body. And when some parts of the body aren't functioning, it doesn't work as well, does it? For instance, if we only had one leg, we could get by, couldn't we? But we're not going to function nearly as effectively as if we have two healthy legs. Again, all of us have gifts and talents, and we're to be sharing those with each other. That's part of our faithfulness to the Lord. It's part of what allows others to look up to us, when we're faithful and using the gifts and talents God's given to us. Some of the gifts listed in Scripture are these. These are some of the spiritual gifts that we see in Scripture. This certainly isn't a complete list. If you look at the definition at the bottom of a spiritual gift, any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So there are many gifts. For example, I think some people have the gift of prayer. It's not on the list here, but it builds the church up. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Or the gift of discernment would be another one. There's many other gifts that aren't listed here. But all the gifts that we have are for a purpose. Again, it's for building the church up so that the church can be all that God wants it to be and to do all that God wants it to do. That's what we're being encouraged with here. And it seems that Scripture makes clear that every one of us, every person who has faith in Jesus Christ, has at least one gift or multiple gifts. And also, Scripture seems to indicate that we should know what those are. We see this in verses like 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So we've been given a lot of gifts. If we have faith in Christ, we have eternal life. We've been given the gift of His Word, the Holy Spirit, the church, many other gifts. And one of those gifts God has given us is a gift of some kind of service to the church. And so, do you think if God has given us a gift to serve the church in some way, He's going to hide that from us? Imagine if I told Nance, I've got this awesome gift for her, and she's going to love it, and it's going to be a great blessing for the whole family. And when it comes time for her to receive this gift, she comes up to me with this big smile on her face and says, okay, what is it? And I say to her, I'm not going to tell you. That'd be kind of cruel, wouldn't it? God's not cruel. He's not hiding anything from us. He just approaches things sometimes differently than we want things to be approached. Sometimes God may make your gift very clear, like He did with Timothy through a prophecy. He may speak to you directly and say, this is your gift. But I think most often it comes in a different form, in a different way. And I think we just approach things in a way that doesn't match up with how God wants us to approach things. I think often the issue begins with a believer who wants to know what their spiritual gift is. I think that's the wrong question that God has for us to really grab hold on. I think what He is much more interested in is, are we willing to set Him apart as Lord in our life? That's the question that I think He really wants us to hold on to. Are we willing to make Him Lord of our life and do whatever He wants us to do? Are we willing to do that? And if we are, I think what He often does too is He places things on our heart then. He gives us a burden for certain things. He gives us a sensitivity to see that need out there. And He equips us to meet that need. For example, when I came to faith in Christ, God gave me a great burden for His Word, a great desire to learn it. And I spent a great deal of time studying the Word of God. And I had a passion for sharing that Word with others. Even though I didn't necessarily in my flesh feel like I was fully equipped to do that, I was willing to do it. I started having Bible studies with people. It wasn't that I was thinking, okay, God wants me to be a pastor in a church. That thought never entered my mind. And if it would have, I would have been scared to death of the thought of that. What God placed on my heart was a desire for His Word. And I was willing to take that in. And I was willing to see a need. And I was willing to strive to meet to that need. So it was just one step after another that led me to where I am now. And in all this, am I saying that I have the gift of teaching? I'm not saying that. Maybe my gift is more of leadership or administration. Or maybe my gift is simply a gift of helps. I'm willing to serve God however He wants to use me. I don't I can't say for sure what my gift is, and you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is, where's my heart? Am I willing to do whatever God wants me to do? And are you? Are you setting apart Christ as Lord in your heart? And if you are, what's he placing on your heart? What burden is he giving you? What do you have a sensitivity for? And are you equipped to meet that? And if you are, do it. Be faithful. And if you don't know for sure what he's laying on your heart, that you have set him apart as Lord, but you're not sure what he wants you to be doing or how he's equipped you, then just serve. Because I think what will often happen is people will just get involved and they'll start serving. And God will lead and guide that, and he'll steer that, and he'll equip that person. And eventually, that person can look back and see how they've been used by God and have an idea of what their gifts are. We are faithful in living the high life when we are faithful in utilizing the gifts and talents that God has given to us. The fourth thing that we can do to live a high life is to let our progress of our faith be evident. And we see that in verse 15. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Practice these things. Just what he's already talked about, what he's written about. Practice the things of living as a faithful example of Jesus. Practice the taking in of God's word and sharing with others. Practice the use of the gifts that you have. Be devoted to them, it says. We're devoted to a lot of things sometimes. We're devoted to family. We can be. We can be devoted to our work. Sometimes we're devoted to sports teams or hobbies. What are you and I devoted to? And does it include a devotion to God and to what he wants for our lives? Are we devoted to being in his word and to sharing that in the way he wants us to be? Are we devoted to living our lives as an example for others? Are we devoted in sharing the gifts that God has given to us? Are we devoted to the things that he wants us to be devoted to? Because when we are, we progress in our faith. We grow in our faith. And it becomes evident to others around us. Again, as we talked about earlier, when we come to faith in Christ, we are just coming out of a very self-centered lifestyle. And when we come to faith, things start changing and people notice. They notice that we're not as selfish or prideful maybe as we were. We're more humble and loving, more joyful. And we're starting to be used by God in ways they would have never imagined. And what's that do for a non-believer? A non-believer is like, what in the world is going on in their life? And hopefully we can tell them. But what's it do for us who believe when we see God working in another person's life? Isn't it an awesome encouragement? A few years ago, God led us to bring Jed on as associate pastor at that time. And some of you were skeptical of that decision. Some of you didn't think Jed was old enough or mature enough. Some of you, in a sense, were looking down upon Jed. But it's interesting, as the elder assessments were written these past few weeks, many of you commented on the progress in Jed's life. You've been able to see how God's worked in him and through him, and you're looking up to Jed more now. He's allowed the progress of his life to be evident. It's lifted him up and helped others look more to the Lord. And that's what God is calling all of us to. Paul wrote these words in Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained this, already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He's just saying here, I haven't arrived. I'm a work in progress yet, just like all of us. But he's pressing on. He's striving to be faithful, and in that, others are able to see his progress. And may that be true as well for us. May we live a life that is lifted up by our progress in the Lord so that he can be glorified. And then one last thing we're being called to today to lift ourselves up so God can be glorified is to watch ourselves in God's word closely. And this is in verse 16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. There's times in our life we got to keep a close watch on something. Maybe we're left to watch the baby. Or maybe there's a young child playing outside and we got to keep a close watch so they don't run over to the street. Or maybe sometimes in our life there's some kind of health symptom going on in our life that the doctor wants us to kind of watch. Or maybe our finances are getting a little tight and we kind of need to watch things. Or maybe there's a weather front coming and we need to watch it carefully. All of these things are about us watching closely something so that we and others around us are protected. And that's the point in this verse, that Timothy and us are being encouraged to watch some things closely so that we and others are protected. And the one thing that needs to be watched is yourself. We need to watch ourselves. That means we need to watch our lives and our behavior and the words that come out of our mouth and our attitudes. We need to watch that closely. We also need to watch closely the teaching, meaning the Word of God. So it's kind of saying, okay, here's your life, here's the Word. Just keep watching them. Keep watching them. Keep watching them closely with the idea that match them up. When a pitcher starts winding up in baseball, an outfielder or any defensive player on his team is watching him closely. As that pitcher is winding up to make the pitch, the defensive player, the outfielder, he's watching that ball. He's watching the pitcher's hand go up, go back, and when that ball's thrown, he's got his eyes all over it, keeping his eye on the ball. And when that ball is heading towards that batter, he's watching. And he's watching the batter. And he's not only watching that, but he's on his toes. He's ready to move. He's ready to come forward or backward or right, left. He's ready to go in whatever direction he needs to go. Because what's the goal? He wants, if at all possible, for that ball to go into his glove. And in the same way, God's word's like the ball. And we're the glove. And when God speaks, he wants us to move to that so that our life matches up with it. And look what it says here at the end. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. God's word says lives are depending upon this. Timothy, your life and other lives are depending upon this. Believers, those who claim faith in Christ, your life is depending upon this. Now, don't anyone get confused. We've said over and over, and I'll say again this morning, there is only one way for a person to be saved, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. But we also know God's word says, if you have faith in Jesus Christ and it's genuine, your life's going to change. It's what James wrote in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. You know what James is saying? He's saying, okay, here's the word and here's your life. And you hear the word and here's your life. It's not moving towards the word. It's not aligning with the word. If our faith is genuine, if we have genuine faith in Jesus Christ, our heart has changed, God lives in us, we can't help but change. When we hear the word, our life should be moving towards the word. And there's going to be occasionally where this happens. But our life should be characterized by moving more and more closer to being aligned with the word of God. And when that happens, that is evidence of our genuine faith. And remember what was going on in the church of Ephesus where Timothy was at. The word of God wasn't being preached. They were here and there was no word. It was gone. And in its place were guys that were speaking their opinions and ideas about things. They were poisoning the church. Timothy had to come in, get rid of this, and in its place put the word of God. And Paul's saying, Timothy, lives are depending on you being faithful and sharing the word of God that gives life to people and then helps them to grow in the Lord. And that's the final encouragement for us this morning, that we would simply be faithful and keeping an eye on both the word of God and our life and just making sure they're continuing to align. And if they are, then our life is growing. We're living a higher life, a godly life that others can look up to. Just to wrap things up for us this morning, there are always, always, always going to be people looking down upon you and me. Always. And we can respond in selfishness, getting frustrated and angry and having an attitude, I will show them. Or we can respond the way God wants us to, in faithfulness, so that our life grows in Him. And as they look upon us, that they are forced to look up. And again, through our life, to see the Lord and be drawn to Him. Father, we thank You. We thank You so much, Lord. Father, we know these things. We know people look down upon us. We know those things happen in our life. And Lord, apart from You, we just want to get angry and we want to get even. Lord, You're showing us this morning that's not what You want for us. You want us to live a faithful life. That even though others may look down upon us, that they can see through us, Lord, Your goodness and Your love and Your faithfulness. That would draw others up to You, Lord. That it would cause them, Lord, to take their eyes off looking down and force them to look up. And Lord, may they see You. And Lord, may we be reminded in all of this, in all of the things we shared this morning, whether it's about the gifts, whether it's about sharing the word, whether it's about any of that other stuff, Lord, help us to remember it is not about us. It is about being faithful to You so that You are glorified. We ask and pray this all in Your name, Jesus. Amen.